صاحبي.
Well, I'm hoping to hear some music there. Nick did tell me he heard some music before, but I can't hear any music.
I can hear
anyway,
music.
There you go. We've got some
I can hear music.
Music. So
Thank
it's a very, this. Very, well, it's a quite a miserable November evening. Welcome to episode 51 of the Malt Ale Travel Podcast. We've had a few weeks off, so we thought we'd better get together. So no real script tonight. We've got a few beery tales to talk about. And I just thought we'd talk about autumnal tone. So this is the 6th of November recording this. So we've had Halloween, we've had Bonfire Night, we've had the clocks Ding. Going back last weekend. And it's certainly getting dark and a bit chilly. Winter is coming, as they say in the north. So how are we, chaps? Are we kind of transitioning into the kind of buckling down for winter, dark ales and warming fires?
Transitioning.
Yes, it's after the global warming route. Everyone's more now cold out. It's like, well, it got soft, didn't it, really?
It's not cold, is it? 9, 10 degrees? Bloody hell, it is winter, nearly.
Well, I'm finding this new computer weird. It's like on an angle. I don't quite know what's going on here.
It does seem to have crept up on us, though. I don't know. I mean, weather's been pretty crap for the last few weeks, but it just seems to be this last couple of days. All the leaves have come off, we're sitting around us, all the leaves are off the trees, and it's horrible and damp, and it's a bit cool. And I say, it just feels like that move to kind of those darker beers. I noticed that on the Chef Hopcast from last week, and Sean, who has the Beer Central in the Moor Market, said that Farmers Blue has now become their top selling ale. And he said that's always a good sign of winter. It's only, although you can buy it all year round, apparently they put it in cask this time of year. And apparently that's been their number one. I saw that Timmy Taylor's have got a Have a Cake. They're doing Have a Cake for the Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Which again is slightly darker beer. And Samuel Smith's winter beer. I think I've got one of those in the garage still from last year, and that's a very nice tip. Yeah. Again, you don't come across that very often, but very nice.
No, I think I bought you that from Trembling Madness.
Very nice. So, and I must admit, I've not been out a great deal over the last couple of weeks, but when I've been out, I have kind of gone a bit to the darker side and quite enjoyed a dark mild or a dark ale. So we will see. So we'll do the usual quick catch up.
Beers.
Yeah, quick catch up of kind of what we've been up to. Not a great deal of beer news at the moment. I did, Bruce, you'll appreciate this one. Braba or Stymie Simon, who is another Yorkite. He's a guy who, he's not the only guy, but he's one of the guys that is ticking off every pub in the Good Beer Guide, and he starts again, and he kind of has just quite a nice blog and Twitter, and he was in Stockton-on-Tees last weekend,
yeah.
and he managed to get into the Sun Inn and have one of those banked pints of Bass that we tried to, but unfortunately we didn't get served because we had my son with us. I did say to him on Twitter, actually, I said, it's a good tip because they look really nice, and as you can see there, anybody on YouTube, those are the infamous banked pints of Bass, which are part poured, put into the fridge behind the bar, and then topped when you come in.
We're not seeing those, Mike.
Oh, you're not seeing those?
No.
You're still on the same one. Hang on, then. That's
still got your opening screen up.
Hold on,
then.
Right. See, we haven't done this. Know what's happening there?
Anyway,
let me move on. Well, there we go. There we go. How's that? There's your pictures.
No.
No,
right, yeah, then. Okay, that's fine. Yeah,
that's extraordinary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
did look just like that, though. Very weird.
Yeah. Very weird. And then I did say we managed to get into some really, thankfully, having not been serving that pub, we then found three fantastic micros, and I did say the Tipsy Turtle was our pick, and actually he got in himself, and I sent him a picture, but you sat outside looking very, very complete with a pint outside the Tipsy Turtle. I don't think he got into the Golden Smog. We went to the Golden Smog, and we also went to the other little one, I can't remember what the other one was called, but I just thought I'd share that with you, because I thought that was a good little crack, really. And then Bruce, again, another trip from the past. The Labologist Society is its 61st anniversary. For those that don't know, Labologists are beer mat collectors. And you know how beer mats feature very regularly in our podcast. And I think, remember, many moons ago, me and Bruce trekking all the way to Warrington to a Holiday Inn.
You're all
to sit there and watch blokes with suitcases full of beer mats. an auction where they sold off beer mats for like hundreds of pounds. And we were just sat there gobsmacked, weren't they? Very strange. So I thought I'd share that with you. So yeah, I tell you what, I'm just going to
start 30 years ago then.
Again. That ain't working right. Right, let's try if that's any better.
Sorry, got any video nasties here? Oh, hello. What's he doing? Right. Anyway, my beer news. So I'm talking about Timothy Taylor's. They don't need to be spotted where they've invested £9 million to extend the brewery.
There we go. As if by magic.
Oh, there we are. So that could mean one of two things. At least they might be able to compete against the huge, you know, international brewers, or it might actually mean that if it makes things more cost effective, they might bring the price of the beer down. Because I think my last pint, Timothy Taylor's, again, it was £4.90 for a pint. That was in the Talbot and Moulton. All right, the Talbot isn't cheapest of places, but still £4.90 for a pint of bitter was still going a bit, really.
I was in the Fleece at Haworth a week last Saturday. I think it was about 4:30, 4:40, and I was also in the brewery tap, the Tales on the Green in Keighley. I've said the beer in the Fleece actually better than the so-called flagship pub in Keighley. I think the Fleece in Haworth is, I think, probably the best kept Tailors now of anywhere I've been to. They say the pub Oxenham's really good, even the Fleece was fantastic, but about 4:40 it was, yeah. But it was pretty stunning. Made the mistake of a landlord and then trying to pay Golden Best in the cost. Then if a landlord got a Golden Best, the Golden Best tasted quite big school by error, that school by error.
But the Fleece is one of their pubs, though, isn't it, bro? So, I mean, it's not as though... It's a Taylor's pub, isn't it, the Fleece?
It is, yeah. They own it, yeah. They own it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and it says there's in a couple of the kind. It's not made national. It's in some of the local papers, in some of the brewing papers. It's saying that the what they're doing, they're upgrading the brewery, the bits of the brewery that are a little bit out of look a bit decrepit. But they did also say that, and it does feel like there's a bit of a slight a wind of change, because we mentioned before that Hopical Storm was the first beer they've ever put in a can. That came out earlier this year. I think I trialled that in Euston Tap many episodes ago. And then obviously they did their first ever collaboration with Thornbridge, the start of autumn. Well, it was September, wasn't it? But it was really hard. I've still not come across. And they did an elderberry and gooseberry pale.
And the Taylor's pub there. And I have to say, definitely more Thornbridge influenced than Taylor's. It was very yummy.
Yeah, yeah.
Please try it.
And obviously they are. They put that big new pub up, haven't they? They did that, the big one on the square. That's a big kind of a statement kind of venue pub. Interesting, yeah. And linked, well, not linked to that, but similarly, you pick up the Guinness. Guinness are actually pulling that cold brew coffee beer, which, again, I didn't get hold of. We talked about it a couple of episodes ago. It wasn't bad, but apparently they've completely pulled it. I've got to confess, I did pluck up, and it was on special offer in Morrison's, another £5 off. I bought one of those Surge tops. Oh, Nicholas is on his Thornbridge there. So, Nick, we'll try this at Christmas, mate. I'm still sitting on the fence a little bit. I think in the end, I think I got one for £20 because they're normally £35, and the four cans are £8. Although you can use to be honest, I've just been buying normal Guinness cans, and you can use it with any canned beer. But it's interesting that you get this little top thing that you put on. You charge it by USB. You put it on top of the can. You crack the can, put this thing on top. You press a button, the harp lights up, and it kind of vibrates a little bit. You do half a pour, and then you wait and you let it settle, and you do the top pour. I've got to say, you do get a domed pint of Guinness. It does. It is. And again, I know those Guinness guys have been doing it on YouTube, etc. So we'll have to, next time I come up, I'll bring it up, and we'll have to kind of trial it. Well, see what you think.
Cheapest way to buy that, I would have thought. If you go, I think on Amazon, you can get a 24 pack of the Guinness that they use with the Surger, which is the professional what they have on the bar.
Yeah,
if they don't have draft Guinness in bars, what they tend to have is a Surger, which is like a plate that you put a bit of water on it. That vibrates the pipe. I don't know if it works the same way or not.
It's supposed to be similar. I mean, they are pint cans. So I guess £8 sounds expensive, but then it's 4 pints you get in because they say it's done, so you get a full pint of Guinness because obviously the normal cans are slightly below a pint, aren't they? So yeah, that's.
Did you see Pete Brown's review of the stouts? Seeing that BrewDog have brought one out, and obviously Camden, what used to be called the Camden Inc., which was a dark London stout, they've now rebranded that as just a Camden stout. Well, obviously, AB in brew up because it's owned by Camden's independent anymore. But Pete Brown reviewed.
Could have discontinued the Island's Edge in Scotland though, after low sales have stopped making it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this was, you know, these two have said, right, we're going after Guinness. But I think Pete Brown gave Guinness 4.5 out of 5. He gave Camden 2.5 out of 5. But he actually gave the BrewDog one 4.5 out of 5 as well. So he actually quite enjoyed that. I'm just trying to remember what it's called.
They're really pushing that in around us. Supermarkets around us are really pushing
it's
the
Blackheart. It's called
Blackheart. Yeah,
Heart, yeah, really pushing Blackheart.
And so, it's probably the cheapest stout. It's a bit cheaper than Guinness at the moment. I don't know whether they're doing it as a bit of a loss. Certainly Morrison's and Tesco's are pushing it a little bit as well. All right, let's talk about it's been quite a while since our beery highlights. We've travelled, some of us have travelled a bit further than others. Bruce, as he's explained there, has done a fair tour of the North and East West Riding, so he can tell us a little bit about his trips out to Ilkley and Harrogate. Nicholas popped up to Scotland at the end of September, early October.
Look at that there, Bruce. Look at that collection.
And that was co-op, was it? Local co-op, I think you were.
Yeah.
Which I've got to say, in Wales, the same in Welsh Wales, they don't have many. Where we were, they don't have many big supermarkets. It's all co-op, and they were very good. Again, really good range of local beers in the co-op. I think same there, Nick, wasn't it? In Scotland, you said really good range of beers in the co-op and other local produce.
So, yeah. For anybody who's not watching on YouTube, we've got a photograph up there of my light little Scottish hamper. I've got 3 different Scottish beers. I've got a pack of 4 Assyrian, which was quite good for a canned beer. A pack of Tunnock's Caramel Logs, and then the Scottish breakfast in front with sausage and the square sausage that you get in Scotland. Is it called lawn sausage or
lawn sausage?
That island. Try that lawn sausage. Have you seen the fat that comes out of it if you fry it? It's horrific. You sell it at Grange Market, Newcastle. I got to try this here, and honest to God, it was like watching your life flash before your eyes. Think if I eat this, I'm a
Tip is, Bruce, get the beef sausage rather than the pork sausage, because they do beef and they do pork, and the beef's less, not as fatty as the pork. So the beef
delicious
sausage is really nice.
That is
very nice. So we had that, Nick, and then you managed to get to the Fine Brewery tap, which again is great. You know, Fine's again a really good brewery. Obviously, Jarl is their kind of standout beer, isn't it? It looks quite a nice little place. This.
Oh, I've got a story about that. So it's at the head of Loch Fyne. It's been there quite a while, and I must say they had the monopoly. We stopped Loch Lomond and managed to get up to Oban, but in the area they had a monopoly. But I suppose that's because they are pretty good beers. So ticking over nicely. It's on a working farm. We didn't see the Highland cows, but the farm as well as brew. The Jarl, I was speaking to the guy behind the bar, and he reckoned that they were the first to use the Citra hop, which I found quite surprising. And when Oakham I said, Citra. Oh, well, I like Oakham's. Well, yeah. I like Oakham Citra. He said, oh, well, ours is better. Now, it was good, but it wasn't as good as Oakham Citra. But no, they had paddles, so I managed to try 6 of their beers. They obviously had, I think they had 3 or 4 in handful, and all the rest were on keg. Ticking off nicely, quite an international crowd in there, you know, because to be honest with you, you know, it was a bit of a drink day, as they say in Scotland. Not much else to do up there if the scenery's not sparkling and stunning. So, you know, a few international visitors were around, and they were finding out the tap there. So that was very pleasant. And then managed to tick off one of my bucket list Wetherspoons as well, the one up in Oban, which is one of the main reasons I wanted to go that part of Scotland, on the West Coast. I haven't been there for a long time. And this is the Corryvreckan, and it's right on the quayside. So you can see the ferries coming in. We won't talk too much about the ferries, Miss Nicola Sturgeon and her uppers there, how much it's cost and how much it will be to get those ferries up and running. But yeah, weather was a bit better. Managed to bag myself a pint of Belhaven 80 shilling for £1.27. Once I took me 50 pence camera voucher off it. But once again, not a great range of beers in there, but interesting building. You know, it's a modern build, but it's won architectural awards, and the location is absolutely fantastic, really. So that was one I ticked off my my Wetherspoons bucket list. So altogether, yeah, quite a successful little trip up to Scotland, and things seem to be ticking over nicely.
So that's a new building, that one in Oban, isn't it? It's not. They haven't. I think they were probably, I don't know, dockside buildings, weren't they? But it's a new building. That particular Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah,
the Corrie,
a new build.
The Corrie Frecken is the whirlpool, isn't it? It's in between. Is it Mull and somewhere else? Mull, isn't it? Hmm. It's the one that what's his face? Who wrote 1984? What was he called?
George Orwell. Nearly drowning.
George Orwell nearly drowned it, didn't he? Yeah, they take you across it. Very good. Well, I'm going to beat your Wetherspoons pint in a minute, Nicholas. So I can go even better than 1:27 in a minute. So, Bruce, tell me about your, because Bruce has got these at WhatsApp and he eats all his photos and he hasn't sent me any ones. So I'm just letting Bruce the blank screen. So come on, where have you been up to, Bruce? I know you've been out and about using up the £10 rail.
We got a £10 Northern Rail voucher, of course, on the go. So we other day we set off, went to Halifax, the Peace Halls, which are rather lovely. Yeah. But
a bit of a beer desert, though, isn't it? A bit of a beer desert, isn't it, around the Peace Halls, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
I was even on the Spoons Down. Yeah, sadly, it is there's no outstanding pub in Halifax. They went to Hebden Bridge for the first time in my life, which was very, very nice. They call it the Brighton of the North. And I have to say, it looks like a real, it's a lovely market town for shops, market. But I have to say, Brighton prices, if nothing else. One of the pubs, I did send the pictures. You see our WhatsApp's full now. Shoulder and Mutton, which was nice, had a couple of log burners being modernised. Again, not a great deal of beer. What was prevalent, though, in that part of the world, vocation beer is dominant there. Halifax, Calderdale, vocational micro pubs. Peace Hall's all vocation. Similar on Hebden Bridge. So then we got the £2 bus from Hebden Bridge Tower. It's one of the great bus routes in the north of England. I've also wanted to do it. It was fantastic. The juncture was, but the high we went, it was a thick fog, so we didn't see the outstanding view. But most annoying, especially the bus takes half an hour, but it stops as the Calderdale pub of the season, as it's halfway stop. It's the Cross Keys at Peckett Edge, as it was bus stop right outside. And that's just won the awards. So if we go again, we'll have to stop then. The food looked fantastic.
Yeah.
How was the team as usual?
We're looking at, we've been actually looking at Christmas House, which is halfway up that road between Hebden Bridge and Haworth. And Peckworth is the one, and then Oxenholme's the other village, and Oxenholme's got two cracking pubs by the looks of it, which I think is 1.5 miles from where this house is. So
horses as well. They reckon there's always a pungent smell in Hebden Bridge, Bruce. You don't inhale too heavily, otherwise you start seeing fairies and starkly sparkly stars.
It felt very much like a sort of Brighton being transferred to sort of Calderdale, really. But I've said it's not an empty shop, loads of independent, it was a thriving market, well worth a visit. And I say, I think there's another decent pub we missed, but we're
into lots of herbs with it, Bruce.
Well, there's a little bit
That's moved to Todmorden down. That's Todmorden where all that goes. It's a bit more, it's grown up a bit as Hebden Bridge. What's the other one down the road? Sowerby Bridge down the road. It's got quite a nice weather.
Now goes from Leeds to Leicester, and in fact, you go to Rochdale, Mytham Road, Todmorden, Sowerby Bridge, Hebden Bridge. You could have a cracking down for your £10 on that one. We ended our day at Keith Taylor's in on the Green, which was, I like it in there, Millie. I know it's a bit modern, a bit solo. That was a good crowd of people in, and service was quite good. Say, Christine got a green when it came. The nan was like, it's inedible. What have they done to it? So we pointed out, so we took it away, replaced everything, brought it out brand new. And then we came to pay the bill. They said, "Oh no, that one's free. We've comped you that one because it should have been right first time." So that one's fair game. Yes.
You still wonder though with these, that £9 million of brewery, why they don't do something with the brewery? Keep that completely. And some brewers like that, aren't they? We don't want anybody on the brewery. We want to crack on and do, and we'll have our pubs.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think the way most, I mean, the busiest places you go to these days are brewery taps, aren't they? Let's be honest. I mean, there are the odd pubs, and Wetherspoons are always busy, but the busiest places you come across, certainly for me, are brewery taps. That's where people go these days. It's almost a destination.
On a Saturday and Sunday, about 500 people at least tours. You think of that, it's a lot of people. It's revenue, isn't it? It's,
But because they are a big brewery, they're operating 24/7. You've got a lot of safety issues.
Vans and things.
A lot of safety issues.
Grays and stuff,
I mean, most places that have a tap, it's on a weekend when they aren't actually brewing that much, or there's not much shifting left and right. But, I mean, you know, they've got their own fleets of wagons and everything. Yeah. So even folks just stepping foot over the threshold, I would think it's down to the health and safety.
Yeah. That's true too. Okay.
Right, well, there's Bruce's blank page. So let me move on then. So hoping I can move on. So a couple of my little trips then. So I don't think I think last time we were on, I was about to do this. So again, we're still using our £2 bus. I've got my £10 rail one here, but I don't think we'll get to use it this time. But £2 bus still great. So we jumped on the bus to Shrewsbury from Newcastle and Lyme, and that stops at Market Drayton. Market Drayton is a little bit like Malton in a way. It's a very traditional market town, still got a cattle market, still very much kind of built around kind of a central. It's not quite a square. It's more of a, there's a butter, there's an old, one of those old butter markets in the middle. And in fact, it was Gingerbread Day, because Market Drayton is famous that it's the home of gingerbread, apparently. So they're having their ginger festival. Unfortunately, as you can see, we got there, it was all right, but by the end of the afternoon, it was absolutely piling it down. It was kind of last weekend in September. So we kicked off. The bus stop is really good because it stops right outside the Wetherspoons, which was the old Hippodrome, and it's quite a nice Wetherspoons. And again, always has a good range of beer in. So we started off in there. We then went to a pub that was opening for the first time that day, which was the William Chester, which is the one top right if you're on YouTube. It's actually the sister pub of the one in the middle, the Tudor House, and the William Chester are kind of owned by the same people. And it was literally that had opened the night before, and me and Finn were the first people in Saturday morning. Three real ales on. She said, "Oh, we're going to focus on cocktails, but we love ales." So three really cracking beers. I think I had a Durham ale on, which is really, it was really, really nice. And if you're looking at that picture, it's got a fantastic little bit at the back there where you can see some little coaching thing there, but it's like rather than, there's a big courtyard at the back, but then they've kind of just decked all out like the way to the toilets. They've decked it all out and put seats, so it's a really nice space actually. So definitely, if you ever kind of that end of the kind of Shropshire Staffs border, William Chester, well worth a visit. And then we ticked off three of those timbery medievally type pubs, and in fact, it's quite amazing in that. The Sandbrook Vaults, which you can see bottom left. There's another, the next one along is another pub called the Cliff and Goyne. And at the end of that is the Tudor House. So there are three pubs in that row that, if you're looking at YouTube, that bottom left, the three pubs there are next door to each other. Three, one after the other. It's just unbelievable, like how many pubs there are in Market Drayton. And they're all still open.
Identical too.
Yeah, pretty identical, yeah. So the Sandbrook is a Jules pub. It's very rough and ready inside. Yeah. The Tudor House was more of a free house, and then Cliff and Goyne again is a free house. Cliff and Goyne actually wasn't open on Saturday lunchtime. They were waiting. It said it would open later on, but yeah, it's very rare to find three pubs next to each other in a market town. And then we went across the Salopian Star, which is a little bit further down that road. Again, very interesting pub. You'd love it, Bruce. Three tallies, all with different race meetings on. The landlord.
Oh, wow.
That's out, double spread with a racing post and all his bets lined up. So we had to stop. He said, "Do you mind having to watch this race?" Then he got up and served us. And they specialise in, which became a bit of a theme, really. They have New Brew, apparently called Plan B Brewery. They're from Newport in Shropshire. And the guy said, it's not just they change the name every other week, but they also change the name of the beers. He says, so I never really know what I'm getting. He said, so this beer this week's called this. And then last time it came, it was called something else. Same beer. So interesting. We didn't even, well, we did. We put our head in the brewery because obviously Jules' brewery is in Market Drain. Put our head in and we just walked out because it was absolutely heaving because of the weather. And there were at least another six pubs in Market Drain that we didn't get anywhere near. So definitely worth a little trip. I know that you've ever done. You've been, Nick, to Market Drayton. It's definitely worth next time you're up if we get an afternoon. It's a cracking little place.
Because isn't that where there's the Thompson's furniture in one of them?
Yeah, they've got the brewery have got an interior of a Leeds bank with all Mousy Thompson furniture. They just took it all. Mm. They went and took it all down and redone it. And it's a fantastic brewery, actually. A really good tap there. So that was that one.
How long a ride is it?
It's probably about 20 minutes by car. It's probably about 40 minutes by bus. So it's not bad. Oh, it's not bad at all. So, but there you go, Nick. I can just about I can do you on your Wetherspoons. So in Wetherspoons in Market Drayton on that Saturday, they had Spitting Feathers, which is a brewery in Chester, which we know well because they have a fantastic tap down towards the river, a medieval kind of long house, and that was £1.49. So with my 50p off, it was 99p a pint. It's maybe a tad cloudy for yourself. It was triple brew alien. It was kind of a hazy pale. I think it was 4.8%.
Like this bit, like this Thornbridge I'm drinking.
Yeah, very similar. Astrid, very similar to Astrid. But at 99p, you couldn't go wrong, really, could you? So I don't tend to have a drink with breakfast, but I decided I would do that day.
Well, it looks like your lad's got half a cup there. He's half a cup. Yeah. Probably more than your beer, was it?
Yeah, probably. I think it was actually. Yeah. And then a bit of a change for me, and that for once I was on the other side of the bar. So it was the Stoke Beer Festival. They normally have it about this time of year. They were planning to have it in one of the old Spode potteries, but unfortunately asbestos and lack of toilets got in the way. So at the last minute, they had to come up with a plan B. So that's why it's called the 39th and a half Stoke Beer Festival and not the 39th, so I think it should have been the 40th. So they had it in a old post office up in Burslem, normal kind of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we went up on Thursday and sampled some of the beers ourselves. And then we spent all Saturday afternoon there, being volunteers. And it was a nice little setup. Wasn't too bad. Good range of ales. I guess the only problem, we got stuck on the A to M bar. So we only kind of drank the A to M. Obviously, we drank as much as you wanted. 64 beers they had on, which is pretty good. But as I said to Bruce, unfortunately, could not get away from bloody Osset. So there were two Osset beers on and then two rat beers on as well. So you can't go anywhere in the country now without having things.
Osset doesn't begin with M.
No, well, I didn't drink any, to be honest with you. But as I say, couldn't get away from them. What was going down well, the Taibu, that was from, where's Taibu? Yeah, Crew, which is a Welsh brewery. They were doing a lemongrass beer, which was going down a great storm. The dark beers were going, creme brulee was going down very well. Clockwork Orange, quite a lot of dark beers. Woolly Bugger was going down well with the World Cup rugby. That was a Damson Porter. That was going down pretty well. A mix, really, mainly local brews. Utoxeter, Limestone, Titanic was on there as well, Winkle. So, yeah, good afternoon, actually, and another set of glasses to fill up the kitchen with, which kept everybody at home really happy. So that was a nice afternoon. I'm glad we did it. And then I've just come back from Welsh Wales, went off to lovely Barmouth and had a very nice couple of days. That was the view from the window. It wasn't quite like that we were there. Actually, there was some blue sky, and we're often with tornadoes flying down those valleys for some reason, because the RAF liked them. Mainly got stuck into Snowdonian Brewery, which do quite a Purple Moose, which are based in off Maddock, just to kind of the bottom of Snowdonia. I know what you said, Nick said, I think you said, it's often a little bit bland when you get any Wetherspoons. I know what you mean. And I think this is another good example of where beer is done in its local area, it tasted pretty good. So they have a golden ale. They have an elderflower that's really, really nice. And then I've got to say the dark side of the moose was quite nice. That was their kind of darker autumnal beer. So quite a few pubs in Barmouth. Again, typical ones, even the ones that are in Watts Pub. So I went in one, which is supposed to be really good, called The Last Drop, and all they could offer me was a pint of Directors or a pint of Wainwright. So I actually went for the pint of Directors, which I've not had for many, many years, and it was all right.
Sounds like a Marston's pub, then.
You just expect, don't you, when you're in the kind of Welsh Wales, and you are in Welsh Wales there, you're literally in the middle of nowhere.
If it's owned by Marston's, though, they sell their beer, don't they?
And the oldest point was Mirren's tap there. You can see that was about 2 minutes from where we were staying. Brewery tap, unfortunately, it closed for 10 days because they were going on holiday. But you do kind of stagger belief, really, that you think, last probably half term, last big holiday before Christmas. Yeah. And they had to go. And I think apparently it's a couple that run the brewery and tap room. So I guess you can't be too bad on them. So yeah, that was a quick roundup of kind of where we've been. I know you two guys are planning a little soiree down towards the Midlands next week. Is that right?
Yeah. That's Monday afternoon.
That's the plan. Yeah.
That's the plan. Yeah. And then, Nicholas, you're heading off to the Lake District.
Just wonder what's going to be open on a Monday afternoon, Bruce, but...
You what?
Just wonder what might be open on a Monday afternoon.
I've been checking out the good beer guide, and I'm saying, funnily enough, from Birmingham City Centre, to be honest, seems like a bit of a beer desert. But just ironically, the day you sent it, I sent Michael the article. You'll have to get WhatsApp. Dudley's got the highest concentration of pubs from the National Cameron Historic Pub Inventory. There are three stunning pubs, all in Dudley. It's about sort of 10 minutes on the suburban train. I'll try and work out if they're all open. But weirdly, only one's in the Good Beer Guide. Some very weird stuff going on that guide now. I mean, how can you have the Good Beer Guide? Nelly's, you know, it's insane.
Yeah, but the good beer guide is on good beer, whereas the National Inventory is on pub interiors, isn't it? So it means that it might be a stunning pub, but you might get crap beer in there still, and that's where the difference is.
It is.
One of them is a Wetherspoons, bro. So we know what you know about Wetherspoons. They're black horse. That's supposed to be these mock tuna ones. That's supposed to be absolutely magnificent.
Is that one in Dudley? Is that Wetherspoons?
No, it's towards the south. It's the south of Birmingham. It's actually called Northfield. It's just on the A38. It's supposed to be absolutely stunning in terms of a example of turn of the century. Mitchell and Butler would have a lot of pubs built in Birmingham turn of the century. And this is a massive, great mock Tudor roadhouse. And I say it's the Spoons.
Oh, well, it should be fun finding out. It's a little bit of research. Have a chat before we go.
Well, at least we know the Spoons is going to be open, don't we? This is the problem going to the suburbs, is some of these local pubs may not be open on a Monday afternoon.
I'll give them a ring at work and spend my time useful at work to see if they're open or not tomorrow.
Checking them out.
Yeah,
the best beer at the British Beer Festival, Elland. They're 1892 Porter, is it?
Yeah, but then again, Green King Abbott 1872
Porter was named champion beer of Britain.
Number two was Green favourite, isn't it?
Green was Abbott, which apparently was specially. Two most Green King pubs closing out this week with some Knavesmire and Derrymore Arms Institutions. Green King bought that. So it's Green King of the new Sam Smiths. Although Sam Smiths have re-opened in Winchester. Yeah. Hey, we've got 3 minutes left.
I know. We'll have to go. Very good. So next time we meet up, we'll probably be towards the end of this month, hopefully. I'll do a couple of pre-Christmas little planners. So we might hear back from their trip down to Brummagem and see how they've got on in the land of in the third city. See how they've got on. So bottoms up. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, please do, if you get a chance, give us a review. And we will see you soon. And hopefully we can catch up soon as well.
Bye.
Here.